Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Greetings, loyal trendies. Let me now tell you about what has been trending this past week. Juan Pablo was the hottest story this past Monday. He is the star of The Bachelor. The Bachelor has become a reality series franchise for ABC, who should probably put more money into the effects budget for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and less into spin-offs like The Bachelorette and Bachelor Pad, in my opinion. No story even came close to generating the traffic that The Bachelor finale did, as Juan Pablo, the unlucky in love ex-soccer pro, awarded his final rose. That is to say, he picked the girl he felt like he loved by handing her a rose. However, in the past 17 seasons, The Bachelor has ended with a marriage proposal, complete with a stunning product placement ring. Well, most of the time, but not this time. And since the finale was actually shot 4 months ago, Juan Pablo and female sidekick Nikki have been avoiding the public eye to the best of their abilities. Now, part of that is contractual, so as not to spoil the surprise ending of the show. But on Monday, while appearing live on the I Can't Believe This Is Highly Rated After the Final Rose special, the presumed couple repeatedly said they were keeping all things about their relationship private, other than to say they were very happy. This bucks the trend of shows like The Bachelor and Bachelorette, where producers corral 25 available candidates in an effort to manufacture love for a television audience that follows the story through to its carefully planned ending. An equally manufactured marriage proposal. But in 18 seasons, the show has produced one still married couple. And it is worth noting that the couple in question, Sean and Catherine, have been married for 7 weeks as of this recording. Anyway, show producers were furious over the fact that Juan Pablo seemed disinterested in playing by their rules, particularly on the post-finale special, where he basically refused to answer any of the host's questions. As you may know, ABC is owned by Disney, and they have all the money in the world. So, if somehow this dude was doing something that violated a contract he had signed, I think we can all take it for granted that he would already be sued out of existence. And so I am left to assume that this guy is just a disruptor. He doesn't want to play ball, but if he hasn't signed into anything saying that this is how you play our reality show game, why should he? Now I get the argument that ABC spent millions of dollars for him to go on dream dates with 25 eligible hotties that they handpicked and imported just for him. So maybe he could be a little more grateful, more forthcoming, less abrasive. Maybe he should have had a better understanding of what they would want from him when it was all over. So the worst we can really say of this guy is that he's an ingrate? I've never seen more than 30 seconds of Juan Pablo, and that was just a commercial for the show ABC On Demand made me watch during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And while we're on that topic, can anyone out there refute my Malcolm Gladwell blink assessment that Once Upon a Time is a steaming pile of cagadota? But Juan Pablo, I applaud you for taking the machine's money, the most lovable lady they could recruit for you, and then telling the machine that now that the show is over, guess what? Show's over. I'm going back to having a private life, and no, I'm not going to answer your questions about it. On Monday, people continued searching for information regarding the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which has now been missing for 7 days. Every theory under the sun has been speculated upon by every news source, with these exceptions. It was D.B. Cooper, and it was the Chitauri. If either of those prove true, please remember the trending show guessed that at random before anyone else did. Rondo number 9 was trending much further down the list, and Google search results matched this story to an image from 300 Rise of an Empire. And I thought, what idiot Spartan took the nom de guerre Rondo number 9? Are they numbering all 300 of them in that style, and this guy happened to be 9th? If so, that's dumb. Well, turns out, it's Google that is dumb. That photo from 300 should not have been associated with this story. Rondo number 9 is Clint Massey, a 17-year-old accused of murdering 28-year-old Javin Boyd. Rondo number 9 is apparently known for his YouTube rap video, Life of a Savage, which is one way of saying that he was a nobody. And now nobody is being held on $2 million bail, which even a YouTube rapper's Google AdSense account is unlikely to contain. linked to this story was one about Jim Brown, who is running for office in Arizona's 2nd Congressional District as a Republican candidate. He gave this remarkable quote to the world in the past week. "Basically, slave owners took pretty good care of their slaves and livestock, and this kept business rolling along." End quote. He posted this from Facebook while inside a sealed biodome where he was reading about that big Holocaust hoax and being tended to by an armada of fully charged Roombas. Jim Brown's Facebook page has 75 likes, which is not an exact measure of his overall popularity, but is a pretty decent indicator. It's filled up with flaccid rhetoric that sounds not like a firebrand's call to arms, but the ho-hum marketing of your local news team, or maybe just the ramblings of a dolt. These are all real quotes on the Jim Brown to Congress Facebook page. In this election, trust is key. Experience? Experience is overrated. As of today, I haven't appointed a campaign manager. New blood in Washington, 2014. That makes me wonder if campaign managers understand spell check, Jim. I didn't live my life in a bubble. Oh, I need a joke referee here. I wrote that bit about the sealed biodome before I read this quote where Brown denies living in a bubble. I feel like the joke stays in the podcast. Yes, thank you. Also trending on Monday was Chuck Norris. Two facts about Mr. Norris. First, on Monday, he turned 74. Second, in 1991, when Chuck Norris was charged with attempted murder, the judge immediately dropped all charges, saying, "Chuck Norris does not attempt murder." I'm really happy to tell you that the Cobra Airwave 360 is finally available from longstanding show sponsors and awesome dudes at Cobra Electronics. It's a Bluetooth-enabled 360-degree speaker system. It's perfect for your house, or for your office, or on the go. I like the fact that it's shaped just like a sleek travel mug, and it goes right into my cup holder. It can also function as a speakerphone for hands-free communication. You can pause music and answer calls just by waving your hand. That's crazy! And the rechargeable battery gives the Airwave up to 20 hours of play. I'm still not convinced this rugged, all-purpose speaker even works with Siri. The wait is over, my fellow gadget lovers. The Cobra Airwave 360 is now here, and it's on sale right now over at Cobra.com. The top trend on Tuesday was Between Two Ferns. That's the comedy video series hosted by Zach Galifianakis, which typically features celebrities. But on Tuesday, it featured the president himself, Barack Obama. The president made a very funny video that was a sly plug for healthcare.gov, and I took two things away from it. One, Obama can deliver funny lines. Two, they really are building Iron Man. Bill O'Reilly, who has made an entire career out of being wrong, took the president to task for this, saying that he should not have made a comedy video while Russian President Vladimir Putin is clearly testing the United States of America. I'm guessing Mr. O'Reilly hasn't read The Stark Wars, where Soviet super soldiers Crimson Dynamo and Titanium Man are trounced by Iron Man. Bill, we're building Iron Man. A quick point also to Mr. O'Reilly. If questions are being raised, as you said on your broadcast, you'll know because interrogative sentences end with question marks. Those were declarative sentences there on your show. They're different. Bill O'Reilly knows that appearing on a comedy show like President Obama did is not something Abraham Lincoln would have done. Now that is something I can agree with. Having recently watched the 2010 Golden Globe winner for Best Documentary, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, I can tell you that Honest Abe had very little in the way of comedic timing, and even less tolerance for things like slavery and vampirism. This documentary crew that captured our fearless 23rd president in true HD and 5.1 Dolby surround sound with limited 3D effects revealed the ugly truth about a man that did not like farce or satire and the horrible realities of vampires in the 19th century. Also, unlike that recent sword and sandal fantasy film, 12 Years a Slave, that really glamorizes slavery, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter shows us what that institution was all about. So to new trendy, Jim Brown to Congress with 75 likes. You should feel totally comfortable watching 12 Years a Slave. I look forward to you discussing it with Bill O'Reilly soon. Also trending Tuesday was Andy Dorfman, a name for which I am sure this girl was never mocked. Andy Dorfman will be The Bachelorette on the 10th season of the reality show produced by ABC. The New York Daily News ran a poll with the story that got searched up over 100,000 times, and the voting is in. It's a landslide. The vast majority of people polled said that, no, she does not deserve it, when asked if Andy Dorfman was the best choice to be the next Bachelorette. That's right. Unfortunately named Andy Dorfman, you do not deserve love. The New York Daily News has spoken. And Tuesday also saw my favorite supporting character from Jake and the Neverland Pirates trending again, Lil Boozy. HollywoodLife.com, the website written entirely by remedial middle schoolers, racked up 50,000 hits for their story about the recently unincarcerated pirate who wrote more than 1,000 new rap songs while in prison. And all of them are entirely unintelligible. On Wednesday, a gas explosion rocked East Harlem, destroying two multi-use buildings and causing 5 alarm fires and massive destruction. Natural gas leaks had, in the words of one reporter, turned the two buildings into powder kegs, one of which housed a church, while another housed a piano store, in addition to residential apartments. At least 8 people have been confirmed as casualties of the explosion, dozens more injured, and at least 5 people remain unaccounted for right now. Until the sites are cleared for rubble, authorities are unable to investigate the cause of the explosion more thoroughly. Pastor Joel Osteen, the well-known televangelist, was, quote, heartbroken when his church was robbed of over $500,000. Donations made by his followers through the weekend, including cash, checks, and credit card donations, were somehow stolen directly out of the megachurch's coffers, and authorities are investigating. A clearly distraught Osteen spoke in a spiteful tone when he addressed the thieves at a Wednesday press conference, saying, "It is my job to take money from the gullible, the sick, the poor, and the old, not yours. Give me my job back. Amen." Thursday's top story came from Austin, Texas, the site of the South by Southwest Airlines flight attendant conclave. That's where stewards and stewardesses get together to share the best techniques for ramming the heavy beverage service carts into the kneecaps of napping pro wrestling podcasters. "I don't care that the baggage is free. I cannot afford a knee replacement." The day's second biggest trend was pie, the number, not the dessert. That's because March 14th is Pi Day. 314, get it? Love of this irrational number has escalated to irrational proportions, so much so that 5 years ago, the U.S. House of Representatives, having nothing else to do that day in terms of serving the nation, declared March 14th to be National Pi Day. Few things in this universe interest me less than pie. Among them, diagramming a sentence, anything my auto mechanic says that contains the names of car parts, the discography of Melissa Etheridge. Friday was a slow internet news day. The only major trends were Veronica Mars and Chris Brown. Chris Brown, the guy that beat up Rihanna a few years ago, violated the terms of his probation by getting into a relationship with a female staff member at the court-ordered rehab facility he was forced to attend. He may now face up to 4 years jail time. Chris Brown's sometimes girlfriend, who has an unpronounceable first name like when Prince was represented by that weird symbol, told the seventh grader manning the HollywoodLife.com site on Friday that going back to jail would kill Chris Brown because, quote, "Chris, flat out, cannot be told what to do and hates following orders," end quote. Yes, the irony is plain here, and I am without sympathy. Or is it empathy? Both those things. I am out of them for you, Chris Brown. And Veronica Mars was searched up over 100,000 times on Friday. Friday marked the release of the Kickstarter-funded VM movie. Veronica Mars ran on UPN and the CW for 3 seasons, but it's been off the air since 2007. Series star Kristen Bell and creator Rob Thomas, who is not the guy from Matchbox 20, led a Kickstarter campaign to make a Veronica Mars movie that generated so much interest, we covered it on this program a year back when it was first trending. The project has gone on to be one of the most successful Kickstarter campaigns ever run, and is frequently cited and imitated by those seeking to organize a successful Kickstarter of their own. It will be interesting to see how this movie fares in theaters. It has nationwide distribution, but it's not in true full release. Fans of the series, affectionately known as Marshmallows, paid for this movie up front. Through Kickstarter, they raised the $5.7 million budget for the film. So unlike many films that are made at great risk with uncertain box office appeal, there was no risk here. The budget for the movie was paid for outright by the fans of the series. And thanks to Warner Brothers giving this distribution mostly into AMC Cineplexes across North America, it has the chance to reach a wider audience, many of whom were probably unaware of the Kickstarter campaign in the first place. Plus, this movie was made available for digital sale and streaming the same day as the theatrical release. That's a first in Warner Brothers history. What interests me about this is the emergence of a new paradigm. Kickstarter is essentially the inversion of the retail process. It's a pre-order system. In retail, you have the good in stock, and I pay to have it. But with Kickstarter, I pay for the good, then you go and make it for me. Two ways to commercialize a good. But this movie does both. It is commercialized on the front end and on the back end. Fans paid the film's budget up front to get it made. And on the back end, it will be further commercialized through its theatrical and digital releases. If this movie makes any serious profit whatsoever, now that one of the six major studios, Warner Brothers, is involved, you can bet they're watching very carefully. If commercializing niche films on both ends becomes the wave of the future, how long before new or independent studios emerge as viable enterprises simply by catering to properties with obsessive fan bases? Let's go out on that. Remember to leave me your 5-star review on iTunes. Do not be afraid to use your friends' iTunes accounts to leave these reviews either. Feel guiltless about it. Up next for me, a Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe podcast with Clayton Morris, and then I'll return in a week with more of what's trending for you. Until then, adios, amigos.